Okay, how to be wise with your money. Okay, money is a very sensitive thing to many people today. But God does give us principles by which we govern our money. And unfortunately, many people actually don't know how to manage their money. For a long time, myself as well. So, but when God gives us the principles, let's just practice that. Okay, last week we talked about the tithe. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Then after that, if there's any question about the tithe, let's just answer that first. All right? Let's just pray first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for all the brethren that has gathered. We thank you, Lord, for giving us rest from our labors at least once a week as we give our time to you in the first day of the week to honor you. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us and speak to us in a special way through your precious word. We know your word will give us light. You will give us enlightenment in the different areas of our lives. In this area today, we're talking about money, our finances, our property, our things that we own. How do we manage that, Lord? We pray that, Father, you just teach us. Lord, we need your word. We need you to change our hearts. We need you to help us to look at our lives so that we can be more in line and in tune with your word and your Holy Spirit. We pray that the Spirit of God will fill us, help us to listen well. Father, help me to teach based on what our Spirit wants, so that all of us, Lord, can be together edified. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, any question with the tithe from last week? I know any question with the tithe. We talk about the tithe being 10%, all right? And there's a principle in the Old Testament, but it's a truth that God wants us to learn, that when we give our tithe, it demonstrates our trust that God will provide our needs, okay? And anyway, all our money belongs to God. The things that we have belongs to God. And so to give him actually is to honor him. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, okay? Let's just remind ourselves on that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Let's read together, ready? 1, 2, go. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is the wisdom of Solomon for the children of Israel. He said, honor the Lord, put him first, remember him, because it is God that gave us the strength to get the wealth that we have. Okay? Health and everything belongs to God. And so as a result, when we remember that, the first thing we want to do is to give back to God. The first thing we want to do is to give back to God. Okay? So honor the Lord with thy substance. Okay? We can't say that we just honor the Lord with our prayer, we just honor the Lord with our Bible reading, we just honor the Lord. God says, whatever God has given to you, give back to God. Give back to God, okay? Our substance means everything that we possess, okay? That includes our life. Our life, our time, our money, our property, our everything, okay? And we need to, does that mean that God wants us to sell everything and give to him? If God moves you to do that, that's between you and God. But you know, we must be ready to surrender anything to the Lord, because anyway, it belongs to him. Okay? So that's the first principle, or rather, that's a truth that all of us must have in our lives. Okay? Everything that we have belongs to God. Any questions there? So that's why when we talk about the tithing part, it's actually giving to God. Whenever, every month when we have our income that comes, the first 10% goes to God. Okay? That's actually our honoring God. We honor God and we thank God. God, thank you for providing the needs of my family, and so this is my offering to you, because I know, I remember that it is you who give me the health. You are the one who makes me healthy so that I can work. And so, Lord, in remembering your goodness to me, I'm giving you this 10%. Okay, so there is a principle in the Bible, all right, before the Old Testament and into the New. Paul also taught us to give. Okay. Any questions? All right. We'll just give you today, we won't be talking about the tithe per se, but in general, how do we manage our lives when it comes to money, okay? So I'll give you all the things. Never mind, I'll give you all. Okay, I'm supposed to one by one. But anyway, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. We'll go through each verse. There are 9 points. Just on how to live, truth to live by in managing our money. Truth to live by in managing our money. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33, the Bible tells us, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Basically, Jesus is saying, don't worry. The word take no thought means don't worry. Don't worry. 不要担心, 不要为了这些假, don't because of all these things you are worried. Because in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That means those people who don't know God. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now I want to give you the context. This is, it really struck me. Jesus was talking to a group of people who cannot meet their needs. Jesus was talking to a group of people who can't meet their daily needs. They struggle from day to day. These are the very poor Jews. The Jews are under the Roman conquest. They work very hard. They get very little. They pay very high taxes. And these are people who are very oppressed. And these are people who can't make ends meet. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ comes with a loving message to tell them that in verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you need. Okay? And the important thing for us as believers in Christ, I don't think any of us are in need. How many of you don't have a bank account? All of us have, except for, even babies got bank accounts. Yes, yeah. Why? Because that's part of parents' responsibility for them. That's fine. That's okay. That's a good thing, actually. So that as the children grow up, they have some security and stability in life. Not that we depend on it, but it's just our way of providing for our children. But you know, these guys don't have bank accounts. I think all of us have, anything happen, we have something to fall back on, right? These guys don't have. They don't have. Okay, I may be speaking to someone, no, Pastor, I really don't have. Actually, if we really strip down to the bare necessities, okay, what are the two basic essential things that we need according to the Bible? Basic things that we need. Sorry? They're having therefore food and raiment, let us be content. We just need food and clothing. Of course, Singapore got a lot of taxes and all that. We do need the resources to pay for it. Okay? But you know the very basic things. That God says we need food and clothing, and we have it. God does provide for us. Okay? But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to a whole group of people, was concerned about their livelihood. They're concerned about their daily living. And one of the most important principles in the gospel is faith, yes? Right? It's faith. Right? So when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save our eternal soul forever, you think it's possible to trust God for this short 70 years on life? On life, on earth? You know, the Lord wants us to learn to trust Him on that. The Lord really wants us to learn to trust Him on that. There is nothing that you will face in this life that God can never meet the needs. Nothing. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ comes to actually teach us, don't be worried about these things because God, your Heavenly Father, cares for you. And no, Jesus is talking to people who have never put faith in God. I'm sure that some of the Jews have put faith in the Old Testament waiting for the Messiah. But many of them don't know Him. But He's telling them, look, there's a Heavenly Father that cares for you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He cares for you? Okay? But you know, alternatively, He says, don't be concerned about these things. But what do you need to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. There are two things that Jesus says must be a priority for a Christian. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has to do with everything that pertains to the kingdom of God. Everything. Okay? The work of God. The service of God. The honor of God. The reputation of God. The principles of God. The truth of God. Pay more focus on these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's His righteousness? The things that God says to be true. Not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. Put faith in all these things. When you put God first, in other words, God becomes the number one priority. And God says, if you take care of me, or rather, if you would put me first, there is nothing I cannot provide. Now, I want to be very clear. The Lord Jesus is saying that God will provide your needs, but He may not provide in the way that you think He will provide. Some people say, oh God, if I do this, I wish I can have this. That's not how God provides. God sees your needs. And as you pray, God gives you the best plan for your life. Does that make sense? Okay, any questions? So the first principle is to learn to put God first. Learn to put God first. And this is a hard thing. Hard thing. Because no one can see what's inside your heart, whether you're putting God first. Because many people say, oh, I do this, and I do this, and there, I put God first. But you know what? The trend of your life reflects who is really first. The trend of your life reflects who is really first. In all the activities of life, okay, the trend of your life reflects who is really first. Okay, that's what God says. Let's put God first, okay? And He will supply your needs. Any questions? Any questions? Okay, if not, let's go to the second one. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Okay, these are truth to live. Imagine, so in money, in property, in whatever, we need to learn to put God first in everything. Okay? Proverbs 6. So the first one is to trust God. Put God first and trust Him. The supply needs, Proverbs chapter 6. If there's any question, please ask, okay? So there are two things there, remember, is putting God first. Putting God first. Once you put God first, God will supply your needs. Okay? That's a promise for us. Alright? And the goal is, oh God, I'm going to put you first, therefore I know you're going to provide my needs. The idea is that we're not going to focus on the needs. Although, I'm not being real when I say that, because we all talk about needs. Men live by needs. Those who will come in the discipleship hour will deal with that, right, in the temptation. Okay? But we all have needs. And you know, we live daily by our needs. Like it or not. We're not so spiritual that, oh, I'm going to ignore my needs. No, we have needs. But God is saying, let's put your needs in perspective. There is still a God who cares for your needs. Put me first. And I will meet that need. Alright? Okay, let's go on. The next one, Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11. Okay? Go to the end, thou sluggard. Lazy person, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, seer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Right? So, King Solomon actually teaches number two principle in how we live. Imagine our money, we need to work hard. Okay, we need to work hard. Okay, the book of Proverbs is a book of practical wisdom. It oftentimes warns about being a sluggard. God does bless hard work. One law in the Bible, and this is a universal law, it's a law of reaping and sowing. The harder you work, the more you get. Okay, the harder you work, the more you get. That's a law. Okay, you work hard. Okay, you will get more. Okay, that goes without saying. So that's why some people were chiong, you know, really, I need to earn my first million by 25. And so they keep day in, day out, they work. And in order to get, you know what God says, you will reap what you sow. Okay, you may reap the material things, okay, and this is true. You may get those things, you work hard, you study hard, you will probably pass, okay. But you know, God also talks about the spiritual aspect that we cannot ignore. In verse 6, go to the end of sluggard, consider ways. God hates laziness and He tells us to learn from the ant. How many of you today actually thought about the ant? How many of you say, okay, today I'm going to meditate on the ant? No one does. Okay, no one does. But you know what God says? Look at the ant. Look at the ant. The ant is is a creature that God created to teach us. Do you know that ants can, the amount of work ants can do is amazing, okay? Ants can carry 50 times their own weight. 50 times their own weight. Now, you cannot compare us and the ant, okay? Ant is very small. So 50 times our own weight is still very, 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 very light for us. For the ants, they work very hard. Have you ever seen ants that don't move? Have you ever seen ants that don't move? Ants are always on the move, right? Except a dead ant. Okay. Or ant that was struck by wagon or something like that. But you know what? Ants work hard. Okay. So the Bible actually says, The end works without oversight. Verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, the end continues to work. The believer should imitate this by serving Christ faithfully day in, day out, regardless of whether or not someone is watching or urging him to do it. Urging him along. Whether there's encouragement or not, the Christian will still continue to serve the Lord, will still continue to be faithful in the things of life, things of duty that pertains to life, all right? Whether it's service in the church, whether it's in the family, whether it's in your work, he'll still be faithfully doing it, okay? So he will doing it, he works without oversight. In other words, no one needs to tell you what to do. You will still serve God, okay? In your heart and in the works that you do. And then in verse number 7, provided her meat in the summer, and gather the food in the harvest. The end works while there's opportunity and doesn't wait for a better time. You know, one thing I've learned in almost half a century soon. So I've learned there is nothing like the present. There's no time like the present. A lot of people, we waste a lot of time. Okay? And I know I procrastinate too much sometimes. And this thing, the end say, no, once there's something to do, let's get to do it. Okay? Because the Bible says, providing her meat in the summer. The best time to provide food is in the summer. Now you must understand, in Israel, is there spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Ants cannot gather food in winter anymore. So they work very hard to gather food in the summer, so that when there is time, when it's time, they cannot go out because it's cold, it's freezing, they actually have food. But of course they do other things, all right? So it'd be interesting to study the ants one of these days. The end works while there's opportunity, doesn't wait for a better time. Likewise, the believer should work while it is day and not put it off later. Okay? And sometimes what all we're doing, you know, sometimes it becomes very fruitless. Some people believe that, okay, you got to wait for the best time. But God says there is no best time. If you wait for the clouds, it's not going to happen. You're going to wait for things to change, it's not going to happen. Okay? We've got to work while there's opportunity and we cannot wait for a better time. Alright? The farmer will sow, he knows when to sow, he will sow it. Whether it's cold, whether it's hot, whether there's no rain, he will still need to sow. Why? Because in faith he's expecting God to bless. Okay? So we need to work hard. And then the Bible also says, okay, provided her meat in the summer and gather the food in the harvest. In verse 9, the admonition is, how long will you sleep, thou sluggard? Is there something in your life in terms of your relationship with God, in terms of your service to the Lord, that you're not doing? That if you die now and stand before the Lord, would you regret it? That's the thing that God wants us to work on. Because if the Lord really, because our whole life will be accounted for. Our family life, our husband-wife life, our child-parent life, our church life, our giving life, our service life, our giving life, our conversation, our whatever, everything. The Bible says, "For we shall give an account." The word account means an audit. God is going to audit our entire lives. Okay? So we need to be working hard in every aspect of our lives. Okay? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little falling of hands, says, never mind, I got some more time. You know, when we take that approach, that we kind of push our duties away, you know what's going to happen? The Bible says in verse 11, so shall thy poverty come. Thy poverty will come as one that traveleth, and I want as an armed man. Now, what does this verse mean, anyone? Your poverty is going to come as one that traveleth and one that's armed man. Sorry? You go away very fast? Well, how does that verse say, as one that traveleth and then as an armed man? Okay, so how does it relate to our loss? Okay. The verse actually means this, 11. So shall thy poverty, thy poverty means you become poor. Okay, thy poverty will come as one that traveleth. The one that traveleth means it takes some time. it takes some time. One that traveleth. In other words, the idea is that Solomon said you won't expect yourself to get poor. You will always deceive yourself. That's okay. That's why I said, yeah, the little sleep. Yeah, I rest a while, never mind. I rest a while, never mind. I rest a while, never mind. So all along, you kind of just, kind of, as one that travels, you know. But all along, you're deceiving yourself. But all along, things are, it's like a hole in the pocket. You just keep dropping 10 cents, 5 cents, $1. As one that travels, and thy want, what's a want? What you need as an amen. The moment you need, you realize, eh, how come all suddenly gone? Ah? That's what it means. When we are lazy, we expect everything to be sweet for very nice for us. But God actually says that if we don't work hard, diligently, one day when we actually need help or need the stuff, we won't have. Does that make sense? That's what the passage means. That's why the ants keep on working daily, every minute, every moment of the day. Okay? I'll give you an example. A person said, no, I'll read my Bible tomorrow. Do you know that every time you don't read your Bible, you lose spiritual strength? Okay, it takes 3 days. It takes 3 days to lose muscle. Yes?
There's another passage in
Proverbs. Okay. Proverbs 19,
It's about your relationship with the offended friend, right? It's almost the same wording, but it's in the context of an offended friend.
Wait, which one?
Proverbs.
Which one?
You don't let yourself sleep so much until you be reconciled with a brother.
Oh, that's in Matthew chapter 5.
No,
is that the one? Where is it? Because...
That's why my understanding of that particular verse is
the loan. Give not sleep to yourself. We'll talk about that later, okay? So that's separate.
Okay.
That's different. This is talking about working hard. So if you don't work hard, over time, you will slowly lose. If you don't exercise, those people who exercise regularly will know. If you don't exercise for a few days, you will lose muscle mass. You will lose muscle mass, number one. Number two, you will build fat. Okay? Right? But if you keep on maintaining it so that... I'll give you an example. One of the things I've realized in my own life is if you don't exercise, when you actually need the exertion, you get very tired and you can't do it. Okay? If let's say, Brother Gideon, today you need to run the marathon or I'll kill you. Are you able to run the marathon? Oh, but I can't also. It's when there's a need and I can't meet it. It's because I haven't been faithfully doing this. Does that make sense? And I believe the end, God actually teaches us that we need to be working hard. Okay, any questions? The end works even though it's small and seemingly insignificant in the great scheme of things. You know, no one actually bothers about the ends. And that's one thing. Sometimes as you serve the Lord, no one actually bothers. But it's okay. It's okay. You know why God bothers? Can I say, the ends, even though I'm not good at science, but I believe that God has put ends in this earth to do things that we don't know to the earth, number one. Number two, is to give us a lesson of what it means to be industrious, to be hardworking. Okay? So, any questions? Okay, after we talk about that loan part. Next one, be honest. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:28. So as we live our life, our Christian lives, we need to put God first and trust Him to provide our needs. When I put God first, it means every aspect of putting God first, okay? Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your own Christian life, whether it's in... It's put God first, okay? Okay, let's read together. Ephesians 4:28, ready? 1, 2, go. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Okay, let him that stole steal no more, okay? The Ephesian culture, Paul actually is teaching. You know, some of these things, Paul don't have to teach the Jewish church. He doesn't have to teach the Jews. Because the Jews know, thou shalt not steal. That's in the Ten Commandments to the Jews. But these are Gentiles. And Paul actually have to tell them specifically, those who are stealing, please stop stealing and start working. In other words, don't be dishonest anymore. Okay, don't try to cheat anymore. And Paul actually had to be direct with them. Let him that stole steal no more. Now, he was very direct and he was giving very practical ways of living God's word. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him work. Rather labor, work hard, exert, working with his hands the things which are good so that he can give to those that need. Okay? God is holy and just, and God hates dishonesty. God hates dishonesty, but we as sinners live in a sinful world, and in many ways we are tempted to be dishonest, to cheat, to steal, to misrepresent, to work with a slack hand, to cut corners, to be unjust in our dealings. We must resist these temptations and be honest and ambassadors of Christ in this world. And God does bless honesty. Okay? So it's something that we've done that's wrong. We need to be honest about it. And we say, sorry, I should have done that. I should have said that. This is extra that you gave me. I need to give you back. So these are the things that God blesses. Okay? So when you see other people doing that, please don't imitate them. You need to be clear that you're a Christian and just live honestly. Okay? Next one. All right, in Ephesians 4:28, since we're there, the Bible does teach us, point number four is to learn to give to others. At the end of the verse, it says, as you work, you have the things which is good that you may give to him that needs, to him that needeth. Basically, you know, there are three purposes of money. One is to support the work of God. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Number two, to provide for your family. That's in 1 Timothy 5:8. You can write down. And number three is to give to those that have need. God is very clear. As a believer in Christ, God's give us resources, not just for our own enjoyment. It is to provide for those that have need. Okay? We'll be going to Nepal next Sunday after church. Three or four of us carrying like luggages and luggages of stuff to give to the poorer brethren over in Nepal, because they really have need. I mean, we dress so nicely, but I think they try their best to present themselves in church. And so we give to those that have need. Okay? The believers must have a ready heart to give, as opposed to be stingy and self-centered. Right? So this is an important thing. We must learn to give and help others. Okay, others may have a need. You say, oh, I don't have this need. Can I? Or whatever. And sometimes even just to sense. And the Lord may sometimes put in your heart, say, the Lord impressed my heart to give you this. That's all. And you just give. All right? Okay, the next one, Proverbs 23, verse 20 to 21. Okay, the Bible teaches us, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Well, Singapore is a big culprit of this. Riotous eaters of flesh. You basically, or drink wine bibbers, okay? For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Okay, have you ever seen someone who just can't work or can't hold on a job? Or who just indulge in things. The Bible teaches that the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. The Bible teaches us, don't hang around worldly people. Don't hang around these specific people. Okay, the glutton and the drunkard. And you know what? It does involve people who just indulge in the flesh, in pleasures. That's the idea of indulging in the flesh, you know. This world is the last day is talking about. The last day is the people's rights. This world is very fleshly. We go according to what we want. Unfortunately, many Christians don't even have... they will contribute or participate in programs, but they will not give themselves to programs to serve the Lord, when it's clearly God's will in the Great Commission. And there are many... And Paul is actually teaching, if you go among those people who indulge in the flesh, whether it's drinking, eating, And Singapore is notorious for buffets. I mean, the buffets are good. The buffets are good. But when it comes to a certain age, where buffets are a waste of money. Way too much. I know the young people will go into Korean barbecue and all that. There's nothing wrong with the food. There's nothing wrong with the food. But it's why you keep going back there. Why people need to look for the latest. Why must we always looking at this where you know, really the priority is for us to grow as Christians together. God says, be careful that you do not hang out too much with this kind of people whose mindset is on pleasures. They only go out because they want a good time. And sometimes they want a good time and they attach spiritual things to it. But the real reason is because they want themselves. No, I've seen so many of that. We need to be very careful. Don't hang around worldly people. The Bible actually teaches here, because the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. The drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. You will become poor. Because you're drunk, you can't work. You're glutton, you get your body gets very big and the size gets too big. What happens is you get very tired, you don't work as well. What happens at the end? The Bible talks about leading you to poverty and shall clothe a man with rags. Okay, so be very wise who your friends are. Who your friends are. Young people, you need to choose your friends wisely. You need to choose friends that care about you and that you care about them. Okay, remember one principle that I've learned, and I hope this is a Bible principle, like Ruth. Okay, you don't need friends to be a friend. Think about that for a while. You don't need friends to be a friend. God wants us to be a friend. Okay? Now, I'm just making a maxim here, but I think that the Bible is very clear. The book of Ruth. Ruth, when he actually says, Naomi is saying, go, no. You know the story of Ruth? When her husband died, he decided to stay with the mother-in-law. Naomi said, no, you go. But you know, Ruth is actually a perfect idea of a friend that despite her own needs, despite her own everything, she was a friend to Naomi and said, no, I'll go where you go. Your God will be my God. Okay? Now, of course, in friendship, there's always that interaction and reciprocity. I mean, there must be that two-way. Okay? But you know what? You can be Jesus is a friend of sinners who rejected him. And Jesus was a friend. He's a friend of sinners, people who don't like him. But he's still a friend. Okay? So I just want to just highlight that point. For this, okay, don't hang around worldly people. Choose your friends wisely, all right? Because I can tell you, there are some people. I just give you one illustration. I move on. Let's pretend there's this person who works very hard. Sec 1, Sec 2, Sec 3, Sec 4. He mixes around with bad friends. What happens after that? 没有前途了. He just blew his whole future, and he decided to follow his friends. What happens after that? His whole future is gone. This is a simple illustration of what might happen. Okay. Be very careful who your friends are, okay? Point number 6. Going on to Proverbs 6, verse 1 to 5. Please stop me, all right, if there's any question. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, this is the one I think you're referring to, okay? If thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come unto the hand of thy friend. Go humble yourself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a gazelle. A roe means, like a deer, a gazelle, from the hand of the hunter and a bird from the hand of the fowler. Okay, I think that's what you're referring to, right? So give not sleep is separate from, you need to read the scriptures in the context, okay? So the next point is, be careful about borrowing money. Be careful about borrowing money. Okay, my son, if you are guarantee for thy friend, and if you are stricken, if you are fastened, the word stricken means fastened thy hand with a stranger, someone you don't know, you are caught with your words, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So if let's say I need a loan, I go to Joanna, okay, and Joanna said, no, I won't lend you the money unless you have a guarantor. Then Catherine, very kind, Catherine says, okay, pastor, I will be your guarantor. So I borrowed money from Joanna, and Catherine was my guarantor, okay? So, you know who's in trouble? You and me. Why? Because she becomes a master, right? She becomes a master because she can say, hey, by this time and this time, I want you to pay back. Does it make sense? Okay? So be careful about borrowing. The Bible didn't say don't borrow, but the Bible said be careful, very, very careful, okay? Because what happens is, after, if you have done that, you are caught. You cannot get out of it. Some of us have HDB loan. Some people say, Pastor, does that mean I cannot take a HDB loan? No. There is no way you can get a house without a HDB loan. Okay, the government does have policies and all that, and you're wise about that. okay, you're careful, okay, you cannot have condo, you just take a 4-room flat or whatever. So there is actually that wisdom in deciding that. But you need to be careful about borrowing in general. Some people just borrow. That's why people get problems with loan sharks and all that. Okay? So if you have a loan, what do? Let's say if the pastor have already borrowed, you know. Okay, this is a warning against unwise borrowing and unwise contracts. Okay? So do this now. If you have done it, do this now, my son. Deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Say, sorry. Actually, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have borrowed the money. And you try to do something to get yourself out of that. Okay? And that's what the Bible says. Okay? Go to the hand of thy friend. Go humble yourself and make sure thy friend say, and that means whatever, okay, you borrow from me, actually, you know. So you actually make sure thy friend has the idea of you will do whatever you can to secure her needs. The needs of that friend is not so much the needs. The requirements of the friend is fulfilled so that, and you pay back all the money so that you are basically at the end of the day, you're out of the contract without any obligation to that person. Does that make sense? Any questions? I know I'm talking quite fast. Does that make sense? Any questions? Because this is what God says, and then in verse 4, give not sleep to thine eyes, right? Don't rest until you have done it. All right? Deliver thyself as a gazelle from the road. The gazelle is an animal that's been captured by the hunter. And you know what? Animals don't like to be captured. They want to run away. Do that. Get out. Free yourself from that contract. Okay? I'm thankful with the help of my mom and different people. I'm debt free. Totally debt free. So I'm thankful for that. I know some of you still have your house and all that. You know what? Trust God and God will provide that need. And the goal in life is actually, the goal, at least financially, is to be debt-free. So that you can live for God. You don't have to work so hard to be trapped, okay? So be very, very careful on that. Be careful of borrowing. Any questions? If you see that you made a mistake, try to get out. Try to find a way to get out of it, all right? Now, this does not just mean money, okay? It can mean a marriage engagement. It can mean a business partnership. It can mean a job. It can mean an education. However, if the obligation has been finalized, you are responsible to fulfill the contract. But it is wise to do everything possible to get out of it, if at all possible, if you need to work a second job to pay off an unwise debt. And I believe this very firmly. Before you give to the Lord your tithe, settle your debt first. Settle your debts first. Okay, settle your debts first. All right? Of course, there is a presence of the Lord. As I settle the debts, doesn't mean you give everything, right? You still honor the Lord by giving to the Lord, okay? It's best not to borrow, all right? It's especially unwise to borrow on poor terms. I don't think anyone have loan shark connections now. No one borrow money from loan sharks, right? Please don't, all right? But you borrow money from the banks, so you need to be very careful because banks don't really charge very good interest to help you. But in terms of the percentages and all that, you need to be wise about some really need that loan to, like, for education, I understand, for different things. You need to do it. You need to ask God for wisdom, speak to people, get counsel before you actually do it, and make sure it's all legal. Alright? Don't do business with strangers. Okay, the borrower becomes a servant to the person, all right? The obligation is a solemn contract before man and God. So if you make any contract, you have to fulfill that. As far as God is concerned, God has no interest in people who break contracts. Okay? Don't borrow unless you're certain you can pay it back. Right? Don't borrow unless you're certain you can pay it back. All right, the next one on Proverbs 19:20. Okay, I just want to make a comment quickly about the fact that I mentioned that settle your debts first and then after that. Okay, what some people do, and Pastor, I cannot give to church because I settled that. No, I don't believe that. Okay, what I tend to do for myself, I just use it as example. I already decided how much I'm going to give to the Lord. But before I give to the Lord, that amount is still remains. Okay, let's say I'm going to give $50 to the Lord, let's say, okay. But I also know that I have a debt. Okay, so my first thing is, Lord, I already settled this with you, and I'm going to give it to you. But I have this debt. Whatever I have, I'm going to settle that one first. Okay, does that make sense? All right. So I want to be clear. My last people say, no, you need to actually give first. Yes, you always have to give first. Okay. Please don't misunderstand that. All right. And I believe in our relationship with the Lord. Even if you say, Pastor, I think we should give to the Lord first. Yes, I believe that. But I believe that in the practical expression of your faith in the Lord, say, Lord, I am going to give you, but I'm also going to deal with this debt that I have, which it could be an unwise debt, it could be something that I have to do. Okay? Any questions? All right, next one. Get good counsel, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. I think that goes without saying. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Okay? Don't make any major financial decisions on your own. Get counsel from wise persons such as pastors and parents. If you are a young person, don't get counsel from your peers. Go to those who are older and wiser, and don't get counsel from those who don't know how to use their money wisely. Okay, don't get counsel. Before you get involved in any investment projects and all that kind of thing that make you lose a big sum of money, please speak to someone. I personally counsel marriages that break up because of unwise money allocation and usage. Okay? There was one many years ago, as pastor, I was privileged or not, and these people have chalked out debt to five figures. I said, what do you do? Buy things? Just buy things? You need to be careful. Please be careful when you invest major sums of money to get counsel, get advice. All right? And just because, and please, I think in Singapore especially, get rich quick scams are everywhere. Please be careful. Don't be so tempted by it. There was one situation whereby many years ago, there was one group of pastoral people, and there was one pastor who actually got an email from South Africa and said, we're going to send a sum of probably about $20 million, and so if you come and all that. This pastor actually communicated with that guy, you know, bought a fax and all that, and the team of two or three was prepared to go and say, you come and meet us there, and then after that we'll pick you out, and then we'll give you the money and all that kind of thing. Because this pastor wanted to build a church and he wanted money for the land and all that kind of thing. He actually went. Until one of the team members one day was just finding out some information from the South Africa, crime capital of the world. When this person went to say, Pastor, I think we need to rethink that. At the end of the day, it was all a scam. And today there's an acceleration of that. We need to be so careful. If you see anything more than 100, anything that's above $1 million that people want to give to you, just delete it. Just delete it. In Singapore, there are people who have broken their families because of these kind of things. All right? Get rich quick schemes are not God's way. Okay? God wants us to work hard. Okay? All right. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Let's go. Two more and then we're done. 2 Corinthians 2:6-14. Okay, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion had light with darkness. Right? Don't yoke together yourselves with unbelievers in financial matters. Don't have a contract. Let's say don't start a company with an unbeliever. Okay, don't start a company with a non-believer. Don't invest, including your relatives. Because why? You guys operate on different principles. You operate on different principles. Okay? In some of the shopping centers in Singapore, I believe that it is mandatory that you have to open on Sundays at a certain time, from 10 to whatever. Okay? Because that's part of the shopping center rental policy. If you don't want, then sorry, you're not here. Okay? For those Christians who want that place, they will open on Sundays. Or maybe hire other people and all that. But you need to be careful that you don't yoke yourself with non-believers in financial matters. Why? It's very different. The spirit of the person and the Holy Spirit in you, they will clash. If you want to stand for God and do right, you can't cooperate with someone who's not a believer. especially in binding partnerships. Okay, that's what the scriptures teach. Let's just follow the scriptures. If a new medieval finds himself entangled in this, he should do whatever he can to disentangle himself from such a yoke as quickly as possible so that he will be free to serve Christ. Okay? And then, the last part, the last point is important. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Any questions on the being yoked together? You know, if you find yourself in there, I'll counsel you to get out. I'll counsel you to get out. Don't because of the money you break God's principles. And you will reap what you sow. You will lose. You can't. You see, no one has broken God's law and ever won. And no one ever will. Because God's all wise. I mean, he's given principles. He's thought through everything. I mean, he's all wise and he's given us his principles. Let's live that way, okay? Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Let your conversation of righteousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Paul actually teaches the Jewish Christians, look, let your lifestyle, let your conversation, let your behavior be without covetousness, totally devoid of, empty of wanting things that you don't need. Wanting things that other the world craves, covetousness, which is a sin, by the way. It's a sin. Gambling is a sin because of covetousness. 4D is a sin because of covetousness. It's a sin. It's a sin. Covetousness is a sin. Wanting a bigger condo when you can't afford it, but you really work yourself for it, that's a sin because your heart is in the wrong place. It's covetousness. All right? That's what the Bible says. Let thou shalt not covet, and even New Testament is brought in. Because it's a condition of the heart. You've sinned against God. In other words, you don't believe God to provide. Okay? Be content, be happy. The word content, you know what's the meaning of contentment? Can you be content if you don't have anything? Can you be content if you don't have a bank account? Many Singaporeans say, cannot, Pastor, I'm very hungry. You cannot be contented. Can you be contented if you're hungry? Yes, you can. Because it depends on whether your flesh is ruling you or your spirit is ruling you. I'm serious. The Bible teaches us to walk in the spirit. It will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? So be content. The word contentment simply means that I am completely confident that God will provide my needs in Christ Jesus. Okay? So, why can we be contented? Because the Bible says, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't know about you, there's enough contentment for me. If Jesus is going to be with me throughout all situations, whether it's no money, have money, lots of money, in every situation, we can be contented because we're in Christ. Okay? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. At the end of the day, at the end of this lesson, at the end of the day, your money, your credit card, your everything actually belongs to God. But God gives it to us in this life to make our life comfortable, okay? To provide the needs that we have. And we should not be indulging in the things that God gives us, or we should be indulging in God. Spending much time and thanking Him for all these things. These are principles that we need to apply in life, all right? But the very basis of your practice is your life with God. If you're finding yourself, the moment there's a need, you spring into action without praying, you need to re-divert. Say, okay, wait, stop, pause, put everything stop. I'm not going to, sometimes it's important to say, sometimes I got to remind myself, I'm not even going to think about that first. Lord, I'm going to pray first. And sometimes you don't know what to do, but you just pray. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know that I need to seek you first. Please teach me. And you know, that is the essence. And sometimes we may have to repent and say, God, sorry, I did not trust you enough. I didn't trust you first. I didn't put you first in these things. Okay? It's not wrong to work hard in order to have more. It's not wrong. Some people work very hard. That's okay. Okay? And it's not wrong to save and ask God for an increase. It's not wrong. Okay? But it's not wise to spend money until you have it. Be contented with what you have. The principle here, be content with what you have. What do you have now? Are you happy with it? Or do you want more? I know for some of our fathers, is you are contented, but your family may not be contented. But then you need to ask the Lord to lead you, to lead your family to the place they learned to be content as well. And it is something that God has to work in their heart, but as the head of the house, you need to show the example that, hey, God can provide for us, and He will. But at the same time, don't just assume that will happen. Teach those people, you know, let's work hard. Let's trust God. Let's be honest. Let's apply all these principles. Let's be contented. Let's get good counsel in everything that we do. Okay? Any questions? Yes, sir. Where's the passage? Where's the passage from? Okay, I understand it. Okay. Firstly, I think you need to get what the Bible never say anything about that, all right? And so we cannot teach a truth from silence, meaning that just because there's money involved, therefore it's a tithe. The Bible number one, the Bible never say that, okay? Number two, tithe is only on your increase. Increase means you work for it, okay? So which means a loan, you don't work for it. You got to work to pay back the loan. So you got to tithe on what you work. I mean, if you want to really split hairs, you have to be. Okay, so I don't believe that teaching is from the Bible. I don't believe that teaching is from the Bible. Number one, God actually says don't get loans, and God never say you take tithes off loans. Okay, I think this is an extra thing which the Bible never teach, and so then I believe firstly you need to ask why did the person get a $1.5 million loan? Why? It becomes part of his payment, right? He has to pay, so it becomes part of his bills. It's not something that he works from, so we have to be very clear in separating. I can say, you all better give also, because every HDB loan, you all have to give 10%. Yeah? We can go anywhere, but the Bible didn't say that, so we cannot actually practice that. And I don't believe that's right anyway. Any other questions? Okay, be wise, all right? Search the scriptures, make sure you know it, all right? Make sure you know it well, and because you'll protect the preacher, you protect yourself as well. If it's not in the Bible, you are not obligated to follow it, okay? But God does say, well, are you giving? The first point, are you giving to the Lord? That's the main thing, all right? Any questions? Questions? Okay. I'm just going to give you this, all right? Do the best you can. I know we have about... Well, we take about 10 minutes, lah. All right? I'm just going to look at, okay, this is the thing on the rapture. We're going to look at 5 biblical evidences for the pre-trip rapture. Okay, we'll have a word of prayer. After you finish, then you just pass it back to me, okay? This is actually from the lesson 2 weeks ago. All right? For those who have not attended, that's fine. You can look at the scriptures and then you put in what you think is the best. But these are the 5 biblical evidences for the pre-trip rapture that we talked about 2 weeks ago. All right? Okay, let's say a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the questions that are asked. I pray that you would help us to realize all money comes from you. The resources comes from you. We have nothing, Lord. We came into this world with nothing, and nothing we will leave this world to. But Lord, we can bring the souls of our families, the souls of our lost ones, our friends, our visitors, our whoever, Lord, who have never trusted Christ, I pray. Help us to be faithful in that. That's the only thing we can bring to heaven is the souls of people who we have personally led to. So God, I thank you for what you're going to do. Help us to be always in the Word. Help us to always practice our lives, Lord, by being in the Word. So we thank you for what you're going to do. Prepare us for the service as well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.